how to be healthy in Ramadan, but also how you can continue that for the next 11 months after that. You know, so we make a lot of changes in Ramadan, but it stops the day of Eid. We go back to our old ways. How can we continue the changes that we make in Ramadan so they're effective the rest of the year? So think of Ramadan as like spring. The buds have just blossomed. If we actually water it, tender to it, we will get good fruit, flowers the rest of the year. If we ignore that, after a few weeks, the flowers wilt because they don't have enough energy to grow by themselves. So think of Ramadan as the time of nurturing so that you get the benefits the rest of the year. So if I take you through. So this is one of the ayahs I really like from the Quran. And it says from Surah Nisa, everything good that happens to you is from God, and everything bad that happens to you is from your own actions. So we hear a lot about you are what you eat. They say, you know, if you eat good food, you feel good inside. You'll notice the people who look good, who have lots of energy, who have good hair, good nails, good skin, they generally follow a good diet. And the people that are struggling life, not always, but a lot of the time, is when they take shortcuts in their food, whether it's because of financial reasons or because of time or lack of knowledge, they're the people they struggle because they're not spending. Food is a fuel for our body, and if we don't fuel our bodies properly, we feel the side effects. So Allah says here that everything bad is our own doing. That sounds a bit harsh, but think about how you treat your body. If it's an amanat from Allah, it's a trust to us from Allah, how are we treating our bodies? Before I move on to kind of the food and Ramadan, being healthy isn't just about eating and drinking. There's some spiritual aspects of being healthy. And I want to just touch on four individual ones. Iman, your faith, salah, your prayers, saum, your fasting, and charity. So the reason iman is important, I'll ask the audience, why do you think iman is important in terms of spiritual health? Okay, so we're very fortunate, most of us were born in this faith. But the people that come to this faith, they come because they say they're looking for something to belong to. They don't have, they feel there's something missing in their lives. So having a belief in a creator gives us a platform to grow. There's somebody there that we can rely on, there's somebody we can turn to. So without that belief, we're also told that our actions are not accepted. They just become rituals. If we don't believe in a creator, if we don't believe there is reward for what we're doing, or there is an outcome for not doing something, we are just doing rituals. We're just praying. It just becomes actions. There's no meaning to it. And having a faith, you know, it has an impact on our mindset. A lot of times we do get quite negative when something is going wrong. But, you know, inshallah, if you have that faith, you get to a stage when you say that I will leave it in Allah's hands. You know, there's so much that we can do ourselves, but if we leave it to Allah, Allah knows best. And that only comes from having the strong faith, having good iman. Salah. So, obviously, there are numerous benefits of salah, but some practical benefits. So benefits of wudu. We are told a lot about hygiene. So washing our hands removes the dirt and removes the potential germs off our hands. Rinsing or putting water in our nose clears our sinuses. Gargling removes the food particles that cause bacteria. So all of these have their own benefits. The recitation of the words in namaz, in salah, we are told that there are benefits in the actual words. There's healing, there's shafa in the words. So the words we recite, if we recite them with knowledge of that they are of shafa, they give us shafa by using. So if it's just words we're mumbling in a foreign language, they're just words. But if we believe that we understand and we believe they are full of shafa, that has an impact on us. And finally, the physical benefits of actions. I'm not saying namaz, salah is an exercise regime. But if you think about the actions we do, you know, you see people, the yogis in India, they perform very similar actions and they do it for hours on end to get that spiritual sukoon, that calmness, that contentment. And their actions are very similar to namaz, to salah. The example is the position we take when we go down to sujood. We are recommended to elongate our sajda. And you see the practice, people who practice yoga, they are there. Their position, they try to put their weight on their head to elongate that, because that brings blood supply to our brain. That's oxygen. That's kind of regenerating ourselves. So the next one is som. So I would, just touching of the obvious ayah there in terms of fasting is prescribed to you, but I will talk about fasting a little bit later on. And the final one, kind of to give a spiritual benefit to us. I remember having that spiritual benefit makes our nafs healthy. You know, it's not just about being slim or looking good, but our nafs we also need to make healthy. But charity shouldn't just be about putting a pound in the sadaqah box. Think about what else you can give, your time, your expertise, how neighborly you, what do you do for people around you? It's not just about putting money in a box. So the main part of my talk was about Ramadan. How can we maximize our experience? So preparation. So what preparation are you doing to prepare yourself for Ramadan? Ramadan starts next week. What have you done? And this definitely you have to answer. What have you done to prepare yourself for Ramadan?
You're scared.
You're scared, okay. How can you overcome that fear? But some people may be scared. They're scared that they're going to miss their tea and their coffee. They're going to miss, they feel they're going to be very hot and therefore they're going to be very thirsty. You know, typical English weather, we've had awful weather all of the year and suddenly Ramadan appears and we're having a heat wave. So it's particularly hot next week and they may continue. What else? And things, people who smoke, their fear is how are they going to cope by not smoking. There are people do have genuine fears, but how can you prepare yourself for that?
Mm-hmm. Anyway, I mean, yeah. They're recommended fast, they're not compulsory.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of people in Shaban, this month in particular, we get into the action and the routine of it, prepare ourselves mentally before we go into doing the compulsory.
Yeah. Absolutely. So one of them is fasting in Shaban. It's also it's recommended that you fast the last 3 days of Shaban, so you're continuing from Shaban to Ramadan. And the benefit, one of the benefits of that is, The first 3 days in Shaban, you will overcome your headaches, your lethargy from the lack of coffee and the food. So by the time you actually hit first of Ramadan, you will be in full spirit. So actually have 30 good days rather than wasting the first 3 days of, I can't do this, I'm tired, I've got a headache, which everybody goes through because we have habits of the caffeine, of eating on a regular basis, almost sometimes all day long. Some people are just grazers. They seem to eat every hour of the day rather than three square meals. Everybody's different. So one of the things that I've told my clients to do was actually start reducing the caffeine intake from now. Especially people who drink coffee, half the quantity. So make it like a very weak coffee. Have it later in the day. Don't have it at 7 o'clock in the morning. Have your first cup at 12, then two. It helps you. These are just small preparations to make your Ramadan the best Ramadan you're going to have. We need to think about it as more than just 18 hours of not eating and drinking. What else are we going to do to achieve? What would you like to achieve in this month? Yeah, you know, we're saying shaitan is locked up in this month. We can do whatever we want. We can do whatever we want to get closer to Allah. So what are we planning to do? What extra ibadah are you going to do? All those hours you're going to save of not eating and drinking, what are you going to do? And then finally, as I touched on in the beginning, how are you going to bring a long-term change? This is not just 30 days of coming to the mosque, eating with the community, how are we going to continue that feeling that we have in Ramadan, that when we get to Eid or the day after Eid, you don't have like that feeling of something's missing, that the doors have closed and then I go back to my normal life. So the biggest four concerns, are we eating, will we be able to eat enough? So we'll have probably 5 hours of eating. Will we be able to eat enough food to sustain ourselves for the rest of the other 18, 19 hours? Will we be able to drink enough? What ibadah? Will we be able to do enough ibadah? And how are we going to bring about lasting change? So I'm going to look at each of these in turn now. So eating enough. Allah says in Surah Taha, eat of the good and wholesome things that we have provided for you, so for your sustenance, but indulge in no excess therein. How many times do we find in Ramadan, we end up, instead of having a meal for iftar, we end up having a feast for iftar? That, you know, generally we don't have a lot of, okay, a personal experience, we generally don't have a lot of fried food the 11 months of the year. But when it comes to Ramadan, everybody seems to need their samosas, the pastries, their kebabs, extra food that you normally wouldn't eat. So what? And then you get to the point that actually you're doing asraf because the next day you don't want leftovers, you want fresh food every day. So think about what Allah's told us about having balance in what you eat. And I'll go through a little bit more about eating. So the focus should be on quality of food that you're going to have, not the quantity. So with a limited amount of time, you won't fit in three meals. But what can you eat that's going to give you the most benefit? So think about having high energy meals, but which are slow digesting. So lots of your grains, your barleys, your oats, they are very good. They will keep you full for longer. Yeah? Your fruits and your vegetables, a lot of the fruits and vegetables have a lot of water in them. So they're both hydrating, they've got fiber, they'll keep you full. They will also clear your stomach. They did a research recently. They found that actually a lot of Muslims gain weight in Ramadan rather than lose weight. And the two reasons that happens. The first reason is, after the first few days that you've been fasting, your body says, I'm not getting enough food. I better start storing food. There's a famine coming. That's how your body works. Your body is very clever. You won't die of starvation. You will die of thirst within 2 or 3 days. But by reducing your calorie intake, your body just goes into this kind of storing mode. So the first few days, people say, oh, I've lost so much weight. And then they stop because your body does that. The other reason is, as I said, we end up feasting rather than just eating our normal meals. So the types of slow digesting food. So barley, wheat, oat, semolina, beans, lentils, all these take a long time to digest, which means they will keep you full. Fruits, good fruits would be oranges. They're very have a lot of hydration in them, so a lot of water. Kiwis, strawberries, melons, all very good, and figs, but I'm afraid out of season at the moment. So what should we be doing for our morning meal in terms of suhoor or sehri? Again, it should be wholesome food. The problem is, we have a lot of sugary food, and the sugary food will keep us full till we wake up, and then we'll be hungry again. So it's actually having food that gets us past that breakfast stage. So things like dates are very good. Not only have a lot of sugar, which is good energy food, but fiber, but also potassium and magnesium. So the problem is we don't have enough range of foods, which means that we lack a lot of minerals. Again, almonds, rich in protein with fiber, but not a lot of fat. And bananas, good source of potassium, magnesium, carbohydrates. And finally, things like eggs and porridge. They fill you up. They will keep you full for a long time. I know you might not fancy boiling or frying eggs in the middle of the night. But again, it is one of those foods that is long-lasting in terms of keeps hunger away. So iftar should be a meal, not a feast. Balance. Think about your plate. Have you got a bit of each of the food categories? A bit of fruit, a bit of vegetables, a bit of meat, a bit of complex carbs like rice or barley or something like that. Is your plate balanced? Now, always look at your plate, even whether it's in Ramadan or outside of Ramadan. The plate should be balanced. Half of your plate should be fruits or vegetables or salad. That's how your plate should be made up of. Too many servings of fried food are very unhealthy, but not only are they fatty foods, what you find is that you get bloated and you get very tired, and that means the time to do ibadah is reduced because you actually don't have any energy. So a lot of people, after you've got over your first 2 or 3 days of fasting and you've got rid of the headaches, they find they have so much more energy to do things during the day. They actually gain energy. But if your diet deteriorates in the month, actually you'll find that your energy levels don't actually improve in the month. And avoiding processed food that contain a lot of sugar or white flour. So a lot of naans, a lot of biscuits, cakes, they are temporary fixes. They might satisfy you at the time, but don't actually benefit you in longer term. And the last one was caffeine. Trying to reduce your caffeine. Not only will you miss it in the first few days because it's a stimulant, it's a habit, but also it dehydrates you as well. So drinking enough. So the normal recommendation is to have a litre of water per 50 pounds of weight. So if you're about 10 stones, which is 140 pounds, that's 3 litres a day. It would be very difficult to manage that. So because if you start drinking water, you'll be full really quickly and you'll say, actually, I've got no space for food. So the best way to do that is actually having food that is rich in water. So like you said, brother, having that salad, that fruit, it won't make you very full, but it's also hydrating you. So having that balance, have a bit. So start your meal with the khajur, the dates, have some salad, have some fruit, then move on to your main course. That way you've got the best of both worlds. So the top 10 hydrating vegetables, you can eat them raw, you can put them in a juice, you can put them in a salad, you can cook them, whatever you like. They increase your energy, but also because they have a high water content, they actually will lower your body temperature, which means you'll keep cool during the day. So cucumbers, cabbage, tomatoes, celery, courgettes, carrots, radishes, peppers, broccoli, lettuce. One of the things I was doing last year was actually taking juice to the mosque made predominantly with vegetables. So it would have carrots, it would have broccoli, it would have beetroot, and then I might add an apple or some ginger or something. But predominantly vegetable rather than fruit, because the fruit would be sugar, but the vegetable have a lot more kind of minerals and vitamins in them. The top 5 fruits, watermelon for obvious reasons, raspberries, berries. Again, they have a natural sugar. They are very good for you. You can add them to fruit salads, to juices, but also add them to your cereal if you're having cereal at sehri time. Oranges, eat them straight, squeezed, whatever you want. Figs, out of season, and also fresh coconut. So baby coconut, not the cartons of coconut water you get, but drinking the coconut from directly from the actual coconut, so the baby coconut, that the water there is better than diuretics. It has so many electrolytes. It is very refreshing, very replenishes all your lost salts as well. So some of the common medical issues. People complain about constipation, indigestion, lethargy, low blood pressure, headaches, low blood sugar, muscle cramps, heartburn. So if I take each of them in turn, so the constipation, best thing is having more water, having more fruits and vegetables. They will help you keep your stomach clean. Indigestion, avoiding fizzy drinks, avoiding your fried food, and eating slowly. It's not a race to see who can eat the quickest. Open your fast with khajur, go and pray salah, then eat a little bit, then eat a little bit more, but do it in stages. If you're feeling lethargic and low blood pressure, you need, again, to have the complex carbs that are slow digesting. Yeah? Headaches, mainly due to water, so trying to drink more, having more fruits. Low blood sugar, again, try and avoid the sugar. So people think low blood sugar and having too much sugar doesn't make sense. So this is what happens. You have a lot of sugary food, your body then says there's too much sugar in my food, I need too much sugar in the body, I need to release insulin. It releases insulin and then your blood sugar drops. And then again, you think, oh, I'm hungry. I need something. I need the energy boost. And then again, you go for something sugary. The body says, nope, time for more insulin. Gives, pumps out more insulin. Blood sugar drops again. So that's why when you find that you've got an unhealthy diet, you feel like you're eating all the time because your body's never satisfied. Your body doesn't look for calories. What it looks for is nutrients. If it doesn't get the nutrients that it's looking for, it just says, give me more food. And if you're not in tune with your body, you will just eat anything. And if you're not eating the right food, the body will keep saying, give me more food, give me more food, until it gets the right food that it's looking for. Muscle cramps, again, usually due to low magnesium or potassium. Having dates, having bananas, very good. Heartburn, usually relating to fatty food or eating too quickly. Again, slow down and try and eat natural, unprocessed food. So four S's to help you make a change. So one is smaller. Take smaller portions. So this is the practical bit. Take smaller portions when you open your fast. Substitute. Think about healthier food. So instead of drinking fizzy drinks, have water. Instead of having white bread or white naan, try and substitute to wholemeal or granary or something that's more whole grain. Sip your water. We're recommended to drink a glass of water in three sips rather than just in one. So pace yourself over the few hours you have for eating. And finally, slowly. If you eat slowly, you won't get indigestion. And you'll actually be able to eat more by eating slowly. Because if you eat quickly, you fill up very quickly, and then and it takes a longer time to digest. If you're eating slowly, you'll be able to sustain yourself for longer. So let me tell you what I'm doing for people, all open to all Muslims. I'm running a 40-day holistic Ramadan program to improve your mind, body, and spirit, really to nourish your soul. If you're interested, you will get a daily email from me. And on that daily email, there are four sections. And in the first section, there'll be a hadith on ayah to ponder upon. You would get 4 minutes of exercise to do at home. So exercise doesn't stop in Ramadan. Your body still needs that. A nutritional tip or a guide or a recipe. And finally, a small action to do every day to bring about change. Something to incorporate in your life, but also something to look beyond yourself and your family, to look at community, look at your neighbors. So something that's outside of you. Because sometimes in Ramadan, we focus just on ourselves because we're the only ones fasting. We're the only ones struggling. But also looking at yourself, looking at your own personality, your own nafs, and says, what do I need to change? What can I change in this month to bring about a change for a longer term? And then if you want, there's also interaction on Facebook. But there's a daily email if people are interested to sign up to, and it's an absolute free program. And the reason it's 40 days, not because I'm expecting you to fast for 40 days, but the hadith of the Prophet about doing something for 40 days brings about change.
You're talking about Ramadan as an excellent way or an opportunity to lose weight. What about people like me who don't want to lose weight, who are already slim, and with a high body metabolism, we lose weight very quickly, you know, which could be embarrassing for us when we face our mothers, you know. Do you have any recommendations as how to at least maintain one's weight during the month of Ramadan?
Increasing your portions of rice, bread, meat, so eating healthy food but a bigger quantity. But don't go unhealthy just to put on weight.
Best meal to start opening your to do iftar with, for example. I mean, you've been fasting the whole day. I know we're recommending dates because they hold a lot of nutritional value. But in terms of having your first meal, what would you highly recommend? Is it raw foods? Would it be juices?
So drink. So it has different green vegetables. It has broccoli, it has spinach. All of these are highly nutritious. So not only does it help your digestive system, it's actually, the one I have actually has enough vegetables as three platefuls in a glass. So you find the benefits of drinking that. So you gain all your vegetables, so you've got your fiber in there, but also it's nutrition as well.
Doesn't taste like medicine.
It doesn't. The one I have doesn't taste like medicine at all. I've tried many, but this one doesn't.
My question is, if you're suffering with, say, gastroesophageal reflux and you've got continuous acid buildup, and you're advised by a GP that you should be eating small snacks but continuously out the day, does that mean there's going to be a problem when Ramadan starts and that you have to avoid fasting? Or
are you on any medication?
Pantoprazole.
And then when you open your fast, have things that will settle your stomach, so having things like milk, having lots of fruit, so nothing spicy, nothing fizzy, but things that settle your stomach, and then see how you go, and lots of water as well.
I think the best judge for every person is one's own personal judgment on whether we can fast or not. Sometimes doctors tell us, for example, you cannot fast, well, you can fast. And our experience tells us the opposite. So it's not always the doctors could tell us whether we could fast or we could not. Sometimes, well, the diet we have is very important. I know people who couldn't fast for 20 years, 30 years, because of a wrong diet that they had in Suhoor. And they felt, for example, very sick, they vomited during the day, so they couldn't fast. But as soon as they changed the diet, for example, instead of having a heavy Suhoor, they had just dates and tea, they could fast very easily. So I think we have to experience ourselves and find out whether we could do it or not. And as I said, sometimes just a small change of diet would make a great deal of difference.
As you know, the Ramadan is in this summer period, and the time that we get to eat is very short. Alongside with doing the ibadah and exercises you recommended, I want to know, I've been told that drinking a lot of water, too much water in excess, is bad for you. And it's just as bad as not having enough. Is it okay for us to try and drink that water, trying to get ourselves hydrated in that small amount of time? In addition, you know, small space that we have.
So I would recommend, you know, almost like with every action you do after the Adhan of Maghrib, you include water. So with the Adhan of Maghrib, you would have water. After between Maghrib and Isha, you would have water. Again, not gulping it down, taking it slowly. After Isha, you'd have more water. Then, you know, so pace yourself with water throughout the evening. You will not be able to drink that much, otherwise you will not have any space for food. But pick up foods that are hydrating themselves. Having the fruits and vegetables, a lot of them have 80, 90% water, so you'll also be getting the fiber, the nutrients, and water that way. So I think that's probably the best way to keep yourself hydrated in Ramadan.
What limit of processing you advise and what limit you do not advise?
We can buy in the raw state. So meat, chicken, vegetables, it's all in its raw state that we prepare at home. But then you think about breads and pizzas and stuff. So if you make your own pizza dough, that's fine. But if you start buying ready-made stuff, look at the back of the ingredients. If there are more than five ingredients to make
it... You mean process outside home?
I'm not asking you to make your own bread at home, but I'm just saying, think about what things that you're buying that are ready-made for you. And so read the ingredients, not for the calorie, but look at, if it has more than five ingredients on it, it probably is processed. If it has ingredients that you can't even pronounce, it means it's a chemical made in a factory, not in somebody's kitchen. So be aware of what you're putting in your body. What is it made out of?
Question, what is wrong with processed food? How is it unhealthy?
So this is what happens. So just think about you going on a diet. So you go on a normal diet and you're told to eat everything low fat. Cut out the fat, low sugar. So you go out and buy your diet foods, your diet Coke and your diet yogurt and whatever else that you get diet. And when they take out the fat in the foods, they have to put something in to make it taste nice. So they put in chemicals. A lot of the time it's artificial sugars, sweeteners that they put in. So you lose your weight because you've reduced your calorie intake, but actually you haven't removed the toxins in your body. So what happens? You become slimmer, but your body is more toxic because you've concentrated the toxins in your body. And then suddenly you're trying to eat normally again and you put your weight back on. And your body becomes, so though it reduces the toxins, but you very easily put your weight back on. If you actually take away the foods that are toxic to your body, and I'm going to say two things to you, and you're going to wheat is a product that is very difficult to digest for most people, and they don't realize it. Mm. I'm not saying you're intolerant, but wheat is a substance. When people eat it, they feel bloated, they feel lethargic. And they, because they're not aware of it, they feel that, but I always feel like this. This is a feeling that I've lived with all my life, they think, yeah? Until they actually remove it for a month, reintroduce it, and then they think that was the cause of my feeling or my bloatedness, yeah? And the second one, which is even more controversial, is milk. Milk is very difficult to digest, and it is very highly processed. In this country, they have two processes they apply to our milk. One is they homogenize it, i.e. they mix up the milk so it doesn't have the fat on the top. They put the milk through a extremely fine sieve to break up the fat molecules so it's all mixed up in one. That's a chemical process. And the second one they do to make our milk last a long time, is they heat treat it at about 160 degrees. They kill all the bacteria, which you think, oh, that's good. But they actually kill all the good bacteria that help you to actually digest your milk. So a lot of people say they always got a funny tummy, yeah? Whether it's wind, whether it's constipation or diarrhea, they always feel they've got a funny tummy. But also, science has proved there are three impacts that milk has on our bodies that most people don't associate with milk. One is, and they pick it up when, so there are three problems with milk, and people that are allergic to them show those signs really easily, and others just mildly. So one is a skin rash allergy when they drink milk. So that's kind of obvious one, so people, they realize they're intolerant to milk. The second one is a lot of diarrhea or upset stomach. So that's how they pick up in children, the two reasons they find that children are intolerant to milk or allergic to milk. The third reason they found, or the third problem they found with milk, is it creates a lot of phlegm. So a lot of people have asthma and coughs and colds, and it's due to a dairy diet. And once their doctors or nutritionists actually ask them to remove dairy from their diet, they find that their symptoms disappear. For me, when I started my plan 3 years ago, I used to have milk, I used to eat everything, yeah? So I was recommended to take away the wheat, the milk, the caffeine, and the processed food, just for a month. And I did that. I didn't lose any weight, but I felt very energetic, and I thought, oh, I can't do this. I can't go without tea. I need tea. I like tea with milk, I like tea with sugar. And I thought, okay, I'm gonna drink tea again. That's the only thing I'm gonna do, but everything else I'll follow. And I found that something happened to me. All my life, I've had mouth ulcers in my mouth. And I never realized why. Been to the dentist, been to the doctors, had lots of blood tests. Nobody could see what was the mineral or vitamin lacking in my body that was giving me mouth ulcers. When I'd gave up milk for a month, they'd actually stopped. But I hadn't realized until I reintroduced milk. And as soon as I reintroduced them, they appeared. And now I don't drink milk. I have yogurt. Yogurt's fine, I can do all dairy. But for me, that's how I discovered what I can tolerate. And until you are aware of everything you eat and how you feel, you won't know what is the reason for how you're feeling. Yeah. So the impact food has on your body. So they say you are what you eat. Food, everybody has a different threshold for different food items. So some people say, I just can't eat tomatoes, or I can't eat this. And you think, okay, but everybody is knowing what you're putting in, what impact it has on you.
Family members, some of them, they suffer from kidney stones, and they've been advised to their doctor always stay hydrated, and of course some of them fast. So do you have any advice on that, please? Thank you.
Listen to their own bodies, see how they feel. Generally with kidney stones, they are recommended not to fast because of hydration. But again, let them be the judge of how they feel and whether they're able to. And so again, fasting shouldn't have an adverse impact on your health. Your health does come first.
There's a strong culture of eating out in London. And eating out presents problems because you don't know what's on the menu when you order them, when you're ordering your meals. Is there options of eating healthy by eating out?
Okay, what sort of foods do you eat when you go out?
It depends. I mean, there are different cuisines, so it depends on.
So, whether it's... So, I would always go for things that are grilled. go for things that have a lot more fruits, and you know, more, lots more vegetables. So Lebanese, Iraqi, Iranian food has a lot of grilled fresh food. There are a lot of meats, a lot of rice, lots of vegetables, it's fine. But going for things like Chinese, everything is all stir-fried, or going for Indian, it's fine if you're having your grilled chickens, but if you're going for heavy curries, they're full of oil. So think about the way it's cooked. Yeah?
What about salt intake? A lot of these grilled meals have a large salt content.
Generally, restaurants are not too bad. When you buy more processed ready meals, they have a lot of salt because it's preservation. But generally, restaurants are not very salty. But yeah, more processed food would have the high salt content.
I have a question. What is your take on organic milks? Do you think they still have the same problem?
So organic milk is better than the others, but it's still pasteurized and homogenized. So that means that your cow didn't have any hormones, shouldn't have had any hormones, and they were fed grass and stuff. But it's the treatment is still the same. So organic milk, organic eggs are probably the two things I would recommend in terms of if you're going organic and you want to eat those items.
I also take milk which is lactic intolerance.
So coconut milk is probably the better one. Coconut milk or almond milk?
His parents will be approaching us for advice in respect of their first fasts because they've just recently turned barley. What sort of advice would you recommend in their diet? Would that be separate to an adult diet, or would it
get some sort of balance, making sure they do have some meat, some protein, some carbohydrates? But yes, children probably do need treats because their self-restraint is more difficult than ours, so controlling themselves. But try and make sure they have a decent main meal, even if it is pasta and sauce, but it's pasta, still a carbohydrate that will give them energy for the rest of the day. Yeah, so trying to get a balance, not just junk food or cakes and stuff. So trying to get that balance.
Do you think having nuts and things would be a good idea or not?
Yeah, no, yeah, good to break. So nuts, a lot of people say nuts are fatty, but the benefit of nuts, A, they have a lot of vitamins and minerals, but they're actually good fats which help lubricate all our joints. They're good for our brain as well, so nuts are good. A small handful, I wouldn't go for a big packet, a small handful, because they are still quite high in fat, but good fat.
How do you explain longer life expectancy now?
So we have better medicine. So people didn't die of obesity 50 years ago. They died through heart attacks or things, mainly heart disease. So we've got better medical care or more discoveries to help with heart disease. But now, what is the most common reason people die? Cancer. And the reason a lot of cancer is from the food we eat, the environment, the processed food we put in our bodies. That is the key reason. So it was very unheard of to die of cancer 50, 60, 70 years ago. People died at the age of 50 and 60 because of heart disease. In Ramadan, try and be healthy. Try and get a balance of what you're eating in terms of your carbohydrates, your proteins. Please remember your fruits and vegetables. I know people think that's a waste of food because that won't fill me up. Actually, it will. It will, you know, gives you fiber, it gives you water, gives you, they're very hydrating. So please don't ignore your salads and your vegetables in month of Ramadan.